You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
The Diablo's Den, right? Is that how we start the fucking show?
Yeah, Diablo's Den.
The Diablo's Den. I'm your co-host, Jay Reason, and I'm here with the one and only Lord Ezek and his Prince Mug. What's going
Hello,
on,
Hello, everybody.
Ian?
Hello, everyone out there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Corona Chronicles, episode number 21. Man, I can't believe, dude, that this is on some fucking episode 21 shit, dude. When we started, we thought this would be like, oh, a couple Skype episodes here and there.
But... yeah, and we've been shut down to fucking, who knows what's going on.
I know,
people are bugging.
We got one episode in. It was about a year ago, actually, right around this time where we had Stigma. We did Stigma Live last year. It was right around this time, man. How was your...
And you remember what happened after that.
Well, so listen, we're not here to discuss that. How was your holiday, E? We're just getting off the end of Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Hanukkah today.
And happy Hanukkah today.
So all my brother, my Jewish brothers, just happy Hanukkah, everyone.
I was going to say happy Hanukkah, everybody, man.
And also, happy birthday to my lovely wifey, Storm.
Yes, happy birthday to Storm.
Thank you for the room, sir. Thank you. So, everyone doesn't know, I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, we're going to open up today with awesome, exciting announcement. E, right? You've been working on this lineup for something. You want to share everybody?
Oh, yes, I'm so glad.
I'm going to give you a little drum roll here.
All right, hold on. Go.
Okay, drum roll. All right.
And right now, I'd like to say thank you to everyone involved in this new year of Diablo Fest 2021.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which comes out on December 18th, everyone.
So awesome.
At the Kingsland in Brooklyn. So everyone all over the world, come down, right?
We'll have the flyer
here.
But he's going to break it down.
Diablo Fest 2021.
Break it down, man. Who do we got on the bill this year, man? Break it down.
I got to look at my thing right now. I get the flyer right there. But we'll put the flyer there. The flyer right there. So right now, it's 100 Proof. Everyone, 100 Proof was a rapper. Was on the White Rapper Show.
Yep, you know I remember, yeah.
We got Wisdom and War from fucking Massachusetts, the fucking hard. We got Blissful Juice. We got Concrete Dream.
Yeah,
who's
nice.
Killing us, you know? We got Raise the Ratchet from Ghetto Inmates, you know what I mean? From Low East Side, Raise the Ratchet, dope. We got Rebelmatic, which are making some noise. We got, who's this there? I'm sorry. We got Capo Kong, also. We got from Connecticut, right? We got Piss Mob from Jersey. Shout out to
Damn.
Piss Mob.
Let me just say, if you're using the word piss in your name in 21 into 22, fucking props, man. That's hard. That's
props,
hard.
Right,
yeah,
so,
that's
right,
some.
Right,
that's
right. Some, oh, listen. Piss. These are all like Puerto Rican. Kids
like, imagine. Hold on, wait a second. Imagine you ask, like, your mom's like, oh, what's the name of your band? You're like, oh, piss, whatever.
I think when I think of piss, I think of R. Kelly. I don't know why.
I don't. We always say this, man, but with Concrete Dream, I really got to connect them with the guys in Purity. We just put that out on Static
please.
Era. So a little
I'm taking them on the road. We're going to do a Strawhead tour. Strawhead City. Hold on.
When
listen.
You get to Vegas, piss, I need piss. To put I need to put Purity on that bill.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever you need, bro. We got them open up the tour, bro. Okay?
So well, listen, that's what I'm saying. I mean, they're from Vegas, so that would be they would be amazing. Ideal to open to play there. You know,
I can't wait.
They would be great.
Capo Kong is from Connecticut.
I never heard of him.
Yeah, good guy. Good the drummer guy's a Connecticut dude.
Okay.
We got Piss Mob from Jersey. The dope underground trap metal meets like death metal. Hard shit.
The name alone.
Piss Mob. All the dirt. We got Tony Slippers, everyone. Thank you for Tony Slippers. We got the Force 5 Syndicate with all the guys from Force 5 coming out. King Relic, Prolific, the DRP.
Shout out DRP.
Jason Logic, King Relic, all those guys are coming out. They're coming out.
And give the
we
date
got
one
Block
more.
McCloud.
Give the date one more time, E.
December 18th.
December 18th. That's a Saturday? Is that a Friday night?
That's a Saturday. Saturday, but it starts at 3 p.m., guys. This is a whole day festival.
So you're going to need a lot of cocaine that day. Make sure you're stocked up to make it through the entire event. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm trying to. Red Bulls and what? Extreme. You know what I mean? Like that? So yeah. Hold on 2 seconds. I'm sorry about that.
Yep.
We got Black McCloud. Everyone knows that Black McCloud's been, you know, did songs with me. He's down with the Jedi Mind Tricks. He's down with Army of Pharaohs. He does the dopest. He sings on all of Vinny Paz's hooks. He raps amazing. Puerto Rican dude, my brother. So shout out to Black McCloud. We got, of course, Royal Flush, one of the dope MC from Queens, who had a hit in the late 90s, who's killing it. So we got, you know, he's going right on right before the headline, Starhead.
Okay, perfect, man.
We haven't played New York in a while. It's time to fucking do it. So all those bands, but after that, it ends from 2 to 12 midnight. After that, we go to Arrogant Swine for the after party, which is my birthday party. So nice. You know what's going to happen after that.
All right. So that's...
That's where you're going to be probably.
That's where you'll be stuck. That's where you'll need to be stuck.
I'll be stuck there for four hours until I go to the queue mode and my girl and her friends have that.
I love it, man. Fuck yeah.
Queens, baby. Oh, hold on. Rest in peace to Jesse Minnelli, Casino Park, boys. You know what I mean? Fucking Fresh Metals, you know, KC, Jesse Minnelli passed away on, I think, Thanksgiving.
That's sad.
I hung out with that guy in Miami. But like, whenever we're still in Queens, we hung out because the KC guys, your best friends, the DMS guys in Queens. Yep. So,
shout out.
Jesse Minnelli, I love you, your family. God bless your soul, brother.
Awful news, man. Let's talk about something positive, man. What have you been checking out, listening, anything?
I got something on the show. I got another Queens. My boy Sean Philly has a band called Examine.
Okay. Shout out.
You see this right there? And it's called Blessed. It's on Dead City Records. So
right, shout out Dead City.
Yeah, this is some Queen shit here. Hard Queen shit. Corn and Trap, also another band, another group that is from Queens. Go listen to them too. But, you know, with Rich Fi. So, guys, if you want a tattoo, you're in Queens or the board, you know, Brooklyn, go to Rich Fi to RD Tattoos on Myrtle Ave, right?
Bet.
That's it.
yeah, man, I've been, I'm going to plug really quick. New on Static Era. We got the new Roland Coffin single, which Roland Coffin, you remember, Tim Williams from VOD.
My boy, Tim.
We're going to have Tim on. I think we're going to have Tim on as the next guest, to be honest. So
how's he doing?
We'll find out on Corona.
Is he still married?
We'll find out on Corona Chronicles episode number 22, man. I'm going to have him jump on. But check out the new single called Sister Misery. Actually, you would love it, man. It's got a real old school.
I know Tim has the best. Tim has one of the best voices.
Oh, dude. And this song is real different, too. Kind of reminds me of like an old school Joan Jett sound. It's really dope. And we actually just got added to a very awesome Spotify playlist, so shout out over there. Really excited, man.
You put out the whole record? Just put out the
single now? Right now we got two songs out. What happened is, you know, you guys all heard about how crazy vinyl is. I know, E, you're going through that with your own projects too. Yeah. So what we're doing is we're going to do a cassette of the two singles, and he's recording. I'm going to put him back in the studio, get a couple more singles done, and then once vinyl levels out.
It's so crazy how the vinyl, because everyone was like, oh, I'm going to do my vinyl. I'm going to work on my music when I'm in the thing.
Dude, it's funny because, you know, you look at something like when we put out The Cruel Hand, right? That was like right in the pandemic, and the vinyl hadn't still, you know, there was some delays. But, dude, we got that done very quick.
Nice.
You know, six weeks, I think. So it's funny now, man. I just got a quote, you know, for a repress. We're repressing all the War God shit. I mean, bro, next, like, you know, forget it. It's so far along.
With the record Spectacular, we put out 40 test pressings.
Yeah,
we have 40 artistic test pressings, like real art, and they sold out. But the real thing is not out yet.
Yeah, that's the whole problem. That, you know, it's kind of like a whole thing. So what we've been doing a lot of, as I've been doing cassettes to kind of like tie it over until the vinyl kicks in, and then, you know, somebody like Purity, they didn't want vinyl, which was cool. They, you know, their generation is more CD.
Yeah.
So they just wanted They wanted to dispatch, which is great, you know. So I just want to give that a little shout out, man.
I wonder why not people. Is there like there has to be a company that puts out new CD players?
I mean, CD players you could still pretty you could get. You know what I mean?
I know that, but they people really don't make CD players like they used to.
Yeah, and not like they used to.
I think the Albums Den podcast CD players.
Well, you know, I always wanted to do. And I'll probably do it next year. Is like I always wanted to take like the best of our show and put it on a cassette. And remember, I told you that, and just sell it as like a limited edition, like the Jerky Boys style. I would love to do that. So I mean, we're gonna do that one day, maybe next year. But yo, we got a fucking awesome show today.
Yep.
We always
cool.
have a fucking awesome show, and I say that all the time. But I'm confident that today is a very good one. I want to thank everybody too that listened. To the Freddie Madball episode. It was a lot of fun. Mad funny. Fucking story, dude, of the Ragu. Oh, my God. E.
I forgot one more band that was on it.
Okay, who?
Sorry about that. Dijah. It's just Tomoki and his band. It's a fucking dope band. And he has a call line, the GBT clothing line, which is like, shout out to them. December. I have to give him a shout out. He gave me so much clothes. He's a good guy. And I saw him play at a Colombian hardcore festival last week.
Right.
And the Japanese guys it killed it. I never seen it. It was like Discharge. It was so fucking hard.
That's dope. Where was that at?
At Arrogant Swine. I saw Nuclear Assault and Sub-Zero.
How was that Nuclear Assault show? How was that?
First of all, I saw Danny Luca. He was so stoned. I was like, yo, what's up? He looked at me and he was like, it's Ezek. He's like, oh, Ezek. He bugged out on me.
Damn.
And you know, I took a picture of him. Yo, John Connolly and Danny Luca on stage is so crazy. They killed it. It was so hard, and they killed it. Nuclear Assault killed it. Shout out to Danny Luca and all Nuclear Assault, John Connolly. They killed it. Also, I saw fucking Lou DiBella first time since I saw you.
That's awesome, man.
They killed it. Sub-Zero killed it. With Maddie, Larry, Maddie Pasta, Larry, and Riggs was playing drums.
Yeah, shout out to Lou and all those cats, man. All good people, man. So, yo, we got a good show, E. Let everybody know what we got going on today, man.
Right now, we have one of my friends, good friends from Jack's Heights, Queens. He's right now, basically, I can't say he's a hardcore guy, because he's an author.
Right.
He's an author, has written books, has written articles, been published.
He's got some new stuff coming out that you're involved with that we're going to talk about.
It came out already. It just came out. So like, I just did the Queens Graffiti Legends book signing, which was so fucking crazy because people came out from everywhere and chilled, you know? Dope. And people came out to the scrapyard in New York City, and I signed mad books, and it made me feel good that as a person, you know, my age and me are still relevant in the world, in the underground culture, in the streets, graffiti.
Did you say our guest name?
Oh, our guest is Freddie Alva.
Freddie Alva. All right, so hang tight. We're going to get Freddie on. Give us a minute. All right, guys, I would like to welcome our guest for the night, author, New York hardcore chronicler, historian here. Oh, everybody, please welcome to the show, Freddie Alva.
Thank you. What an intro. Thank you.
Yeah, Freddie, thank you so much for joining us, man. For everybody who doesn't know you, man, very briefly tell the listeners what we call the elevator intro here.
The pitch.
The quick 5-minute thing. Let me see. Got into hardcore by 85. Started going to shows, did a fanzine, booked shows, did a record label. And as of late, I've been writing either awesome. Online or doing books or magazines.
Awesome, man.
Yo.
So, yeah, like I got to know Freddie from a couple really cool things. Obviously, the first thing, like you said, is being an author. So that started with reading some of your articles on noecho.net. Shout out to Carlos.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, man, the new breed, the whole new breed thing, which we'll get into. But Danny, why don't you go ahead and.
How do I know Freddie?
Yeah. Well, Freddie.
First of all, listen, Freddie's from one of the best neighborhoods in the world, the Mecca of the world, Jackson Heights, Queens. and also being into our scene, which a lot of people think is like when they talk about hardcore, everything's a whole bunch of like crazy white kids, whatever. We know from us three that's over here, everyone here is Latino.
Yeah.
So Freddie's Peruvian, Jay's Cuban, and I'm Puerto Rican. So it's good to represent right now for all the Latinos. Yeah.
I love it.
That was definitely
Rabbit?
Yeah, you mentioned Jackson Heights. That's it's a small anyone that grew up there, you know, the kind of same like world. You know each other either from hardcore or graffiti,
yeah,
or just in the neighborhood. It's a small world, it's interlocking, it's a lot of like less than 6 degrees of separation.
So Freddie, most of our listeners I think will recognize your name from what I just talked about, which was the New Breed compilation tape that you and Chaka did. And that was, you did that in 89, man. Let's briefly tell everybody about that tape for those who aren't familiar and kind of that place in history and what made you create that tape, sort of the drive to do that, man.
The New Breed basically came out of me doing a fanzine called New Breed. I did one issue in 87 and I was planning doing a set of compilation tapes, something I had in my mind to do a compilation tape of all our friends' bands, what was happening in 1988. So at that point, a lot of new bands had formed. The Revelation Records sampler had blown up the New York hardcore scene. So a lot of newer bands, and a lot of them happened to be our friends. So I kind of drafted Chaka. Chaka was a friend of mine also from Queens, the Woodside guy. I drafted him to help me compile a compilation tape. And besides him knowing a lot of the bands, one of the main selling points, he had a nice double tape recorder, so he could dub the tape from my, so we dubbed, we got all these bands together, give us, we went to Chaka's house and the Woodside houses, and we dubbed every, once we did a master tape, we did every tape real time. We did, it's about, about an hour, like 35 minutes each side. A lot of time in his bedroom, just like dubbing tape after tape. And using our my fanzine background, we did a booklet that came with all the band's info and artwork, the graffiti background as well. People did graph for it. And we just put it in a plastic bag, the booklet, and I have 11, like a fanzine. And then we put the tape in there. And we just went around to the first place we went to, actually talking to Jay about being from Connecticut. The first place we went to with the tape, went to the Anthrax to sell it. I think I forgot who it was playing, but on the ride up there, we were on the train, just putting everything together in a plastic bag. We got to the Anthrax, and I remember the first guy, this guy Chris Daly, who does Smokesport Records. He just knew we were coming, just jumped us for the tape. Got a tape. He was the first guy to like, he ran to his car, plopped the tape on, started blasting his car right outside the Anthrax. And it was like Pied Piper, like kids made up a line. We started selling
around
the parking lot of tape. And that was the first time we sold it. And then we went to CB's Mayonnaise and we just got rid of it also through the mail. And it was just a great time. It was a great time to document a lot of people in the bands. Where besides being friends from the neighborhood, they were friends, people I'd gone to high school with, people I grew up with, people I worked at jobs, people I hung out at some records, CDGBs. So for me, it's more than just like a anonymous thing. You know, I know like pretty much all the bands there, I have a connection with all those people in there. So for me, it's sort of like a high school yearbook. Like I could say, hey, I know that guy in that band, you know, when I met him in 81, whatever, in Jackson Heights. So it's more than just a recording for me. It's more like it's a yearbook. So the New Breed, we got a great reaction to it. People loved it. And unfortunately, a lot of bands in it, as we put that tape out in 1989, by the time 1990 came around, unfortunately, a lot of the bands broke up. so that kind of sucked. And then, it chronicles a nice point in between, I guess, what I call the second wave of New York hardcore, which is like 87, 86, the Wars and all those bands.
Yeah.
and right before 1990, which is like more than 90s hardcore. So this is more like the 2.5 wave, if you will.
Yeah.
So it's a great testament. And about, And it's all up in 4 or 5 years ago, we did actually a documentary on the compilation tape, which is kind of crazy. You can't never anyone having a compilation tape that has its own movie attached to it. But we got to revisit a lot of the people who were in it. You know, some are still making music, some moved on. But it was a great also time capsule to just revisit those times. And the Newbie documentary, some screenings all over Tri-State area. We took it out to LA. John Woods, the director, did an amazing job. Orlando Arce, our editing guy, did an amazing job. Once the pandemic hit. Orlando's in Jackson Heights, actually. Yeah, he's in Jackson Heights, too. Yeah. He played guitar in Still Suit, played with Burn a little bit.
Yeah.
Super talented guy. He actually did all the layouts for all my books as well. Yeah, he did all the layouts for my book as well, besides editing the documentary. So Orlando, major props, like doing everything from layout, design, photography, editing. And he's also a dope graph writer, so guy can do everything. And a musician. Guy can do everything.
Dope.
That's dope. And then so, Freddie, for those who aren't familiar, just briefly give everybody the track listing, some of the bands that were on that compilation, man. Because again, it is as part of
the one song everyone associates with the comp is the Absolution song, like the first song, Never Ending Game.
Yep.
When that goes on, it's like, you know, I remember hearing that being recorded down Furious, like me and Chaka's jaws were like on the ground, you know, so incredible. But the other, Life's Blood, Rodeo, when it was so-called Rodeo, there's a couple songs, Uppercut, Abomination, Outburst, Our Gang, there's 20 bands on it.
Yeah,
Under Pressure,
Bad
Trip. And there's some bands that only recorded, like, never played a show. They just recorded one song for the comp, and they never got around out of the garage. But and there's other bands that went on to keep recording stuff. So it's a good mix of what was going on at that time.
But so when you...
Oh, there's a band actually that Danny's connected to in there. Discipline.
What?
With Gus Stradish. Yes. Discipline has a track on it. I don't remember you played it. That was you played bass in Discipline. I don't know if you play in that recording. I'd have to double check the booklet. But Discipline has a song in there.
Probably later on when Franklin played bass. I don't know.
Oh, okay, okay, right.
Who knows? I gotta find out.
That's awesome.
There's a new reconnection to you, definitely.
That's crazy.
So Freddie, and then like you said, you also mentioned that you are an author. So talk about from going into, I know there's a huge gap here, but from, you know, creating something like this New Breed compilation as a kid to now, you know, working on new projects such as your Queen's Graffiti Legends series coming up. Talk a little bit about that. Was that kind of finding that drive as a kid, making that still what you know, kind of that passion you still have for it today? Is that what keeps driving you to do that? You still feel that excitement as when you're making that fanzine? Is that kind of what keeps you going?
Oh yeah, totally, definitely. The reason I got in, I did a book on the Urban Styles book is, like you said, I started doing articles on No Echo.
That was the first one.
And I did an article on Never Styles, the book. But before that, like in 2012 or 13, I did an article for No Echo called Graffiti and the Hardcore Connection, where I profiled people that played in bands, not just New York bands, but like, for example, like Out West, they also did graffiti. And that sort of laid the groundwork for me doing the book that kind of inspired me to, hey, I know a lot about this subject. I'm friends with a lot of these people. I admire their work, either in the graffiti or the hardcore realm. And I just wanted to document them and also shine a light on anyone. Whenever anyone talks about graffiti, especially graffiti in New York, they were associated with hip hop. You know, there's always that, the four elements or five elements, you know, it's like breakdancing, DJing, and graffiti is always thrown in there. But what a lot of people didn't realize that punk rock and hardcore was also a big component of people that are into graffiti, and especially in New York City. Street stuff. So I just wanted to document that. And I just, and what we're talking about, Jay, we're talking about like that kind of do it yourself angle. I wasn't, I wasn't going to wait around until someone else did it. I felt I could do it. I have the background and the connections to do it. And fortunately, I got a publisher to publish it that really liked my whole draft and the whole idea behind it. They really supported it and got to the Urban Styles book. And from then on, after doing that, the Urban Styles book 4 years ago, there's a section in it, the Black Book section. Black Book and graffiti terminology is graffiti writers do pieces in a Black Book, like a whole page and a half by 11. I asked some writers to do some pieces in the Urban Styles book. And after the book came out, I had the idea, why don't I do these magazine series of just Black Books, where I asked writers to do tributes to a particular subject. So the first Black Book magazine I did was New York Hardcore. So I asked writers to do pieces dedicated to their favorite New York Hardcore band. And that was, you know, it was a great angle to maintain the whole editing aspect of it. So after New York Hardcore, I did American Hardcore, same theme. Yeah. I asked writers to do a piece of their favorite American Hardcore band. So after that went great. You got great reception. I'll show them in a little bit. Well, I'm surprised show them when I talk about them. This is the cover of the New York Hardcore book. Whisper did that. There's a bunch of tributes to great New York bands. Greed did a great tribute to Danny's band, Scarhead. That's the first issue, New York Hardcore. So then I'm going to American Hardcore.
Freddie, where can people purchase those?
Well, the first four are sold out, unfortunately.
Okay.
I'll have to repress them. But the second one, Sean Taggart did the cover of American Hardcore, awesome. Which is incredible. And once again, same concept, just people doing tributes to American Hardcore bands. So after American Hardcore, what's the next thing? International Hardcore. So I got Jim Martin. Jim Martin was a legendary Connecticut punk rocker artist. Yeah. He did the cover of Connecticut Fun. He did the cover of this. He also did an amazing Japanese band in here. So same idea. I got a bunch of writers who do tributes to foreign American international hardcore punk bands. So after that came true, I was thinking, what could I do next? I don't want to do the obvious. I don't want to do a hip hop, you know, graffiti. That's kind of too obvious. Yeah. Let's do oi. So that's a lot of people think that's kind of a weird angle. What does oi have to do with
it? It's cool, but man. You're cool.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
But once again, I drew from my own background. When I was going to shows 87, 88, I met all these, like, you know, some skinheads that were into oi music, but they were also into graffiti. For example, the bassist, Oxblood, Paul Oxblood. You know, Oxblood is a big oi band legend, big time graffiti writer. When I met him, he was like, you know, he had Doc Martens on, fly jacket, and he'd be tagging up everywhere. So that's, I got this guy, Core 2, who's also a Bronx skinhead guy, also a big time graffiti writer and skinhead into oi. He did a cover for this, and same idea. Danny did a dope tribute to The Business in here.
The Business.
And then I started.
Mickey Fitz. Rest in peace.
Mickey Fitz, RIP, yeah. And I started incorporating more of a fanzine angle to it. So I did a couple articles. I did an article on
my piece
Continental
right there.
OE album. Oh, yeah. Did I pass it?
Yeah, right there.
Oh, there we go. There's a tribute to. So I did a bunch of articles. I did a playlist of Italian oi bands. I did an interview with Phil from Templars. So I tried doing more like a fanzine feel to it alongside with the graffiti pieces. So the next and current issue, which has no music angle whatsoever, is strictly graffiti. That's the Queens Graffiti Legends. And once again, Danny's in it. He did a tribute to a pretty legendary Woodside rider that Danny can talk about that more. So yeah, it's the same concept.
131.
Right. Woodside legend. So I basically asked all these Queens graffiti writers to do tribute pieces to other either dead or living graffiti Queens graffiti writers. And I did a bunch of articles as well. One is on a legendary Woodside writer named Kane One, who unfortunately died when he was in 1982.
Young.
That's
Young,
a piece that that's a lady he, lady thing to that piece.
Kane One was supposed to blow up and do a gallery before he died, man. He was
about to go on a gallery tour, yeah.
He got killed. And everyone thought that he was robbing a house, but he was running away from Serenity. It was a whole fucked up thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whole thing. So, he got chased. He ran up the fire escape. Got shot. He thought it was a mistaken, like a robber.
Yeah.
But he was about to just leave on this gallery tour. Like, he had done his first gallery show. And this famous painting, this Blondie painting he did, it sold like in 10 minutes for like 10, like you know, thousands of dollars. So he was like, he was ready to like blow up. He's a little, a lot older than us. I never really got to see stuff on the trains. But his story always fascinated me, and I wanted to kind of document it. I talked to a lot of his old writing partners. So I approached it the same way I would do like a hardcore fans, like interviews, photos. If you look at it, it's sort of like it's a fanzine, but I'm calling, even though I'm calling it like a black book magazine, but to me, it's nothing that I didn't do like in 1988.
It's an amazing job, bro. Amazing job.
Oh, thank you. And, amazing job. And it's not, by all means, it's not like a complete overview of Queen's craft history. So I'm going to have to do a volume 2. I need more volumes of Queen's graffiti legends. Yeah. So that's where I'm up to as far as that.
Cool. So what do you want to do after this? Like after the second edition? And what else you have going? Like what else you think in the future?
Well, book-wise, in between
what ideas you have?
Well, not book-wise, but something that's related to the Queens graffiti. Yeah. We're going to do an art show where I asked about, there's like about 70 writers in the book, a half village called Village Works. It's a really cool bookshop. It's dedicated only to anything New York related. So that's all it carries, New York related books. They have a section of graffiti, punk rock, hip-hop, as long as it's New York related. So we're going to do a guest. I'm going to show about half the artists here. They're going to showcase a canvas there. And that's starting on January 13th. We're going to run for a couple of weeks. We're going to have an opening party. So if you get a chance to meet a lot of writers in the book and purchase some of the canvases. So that's kind of in between. It came off doing this project. So that's more of a, I guess, active curator type project that I'm doing next. That Danny's in it.
I'm definitely getting the canvases ready for that. I'm getting them.
All right, cool.
I have them in 2 weeks. I have them for you.
Cool. We're gonna do a nice little catalog. You know, like picture of the canvas, so you know people look at it. So that's the next kind of project that I'm working on for the new year.
All right.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Hey, Freddie, so would you ever go back and do a label again or any kind of music ideas you ever kick around, releasing new bands or anything like that?
Well, you know, I forgot to mention, I did a label in 1990 called War Dance Records, and put out Citizen's Arrest, a bunch of the bands. So on and off, I restarted a label, but I put a couple of things. But this the first 200 copies of this came with a flexi by a band called the Chisel. Chisel are a band from England. So incredible, really like probably the best like oi slash punk band I've ever heard like in decades. They just put out an incredible album there, and they're coming around to the U.S. next year. So anyway, the Flexi was released on my War Dance Records label. So the first couple hundred issues came with the with the Chisel Flexi, with three songs. There's a business cover actually in one of the songs. So yeah, once in a while, if the mood hits me and the project is right, I'll do some kind of music related thing. You know, also when the Urban Styles book came out, actually the first couple hundred copies came with a mix cassette tape where I compiled bands that had graffiti, same thing, graffiti writers in the bands. So I had, Lucky Luke's, you know, from Gorilla Biscuits, Warzone, his first band called Loud and Boisterous. And there were a couple of graffiti writers in there. I got Rap's band. I got Frontline. Frontline is a legendary band with Maggie. Exactly. Maggie, Urban Blight, Iceman. That's his first band. And they were all graffiti writers. So on the compilation tape, there's a couple of Frontline songs. So like I said, if the project fits what I'm doing, I'll do some music related to it.
Dope. That's amazing.
That's dope, man. So, Freddie, what else, before we let you go, man, what else are you working on or anything else you want to plug? Where can people keep up with you? Like I said, I know you said that those black books are sold out right now, but where would we be able to get those?
Well, the Queens one is still available. It just, you know, came out just like a pressing. You can just go to Urban Styles, NYCBigCartel.com.
And we'll have a link above. For all the guys watching this, you'll be able to see the links on the site.
And there's a Urban Styles _ book on Instagram. You can follow anything. There's also Queens Graffiti Legends account on Instagram where I try to document more Queens related from the 70s to now. So it's not, I don't want to get just stuck in the past 70s or 80s. There's still like current graffiti coming out of Queens that's just as good. Same like hardcore, you know, you don't want to get, even though the law stuff is great, you just want to get stuck in there. There's still current stuff that's amazing. So same thing with graffiti.
Yeah, that's dope, man. Well, Freddie, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight for episode, man. I'll have links for all of your stuff. I also want to quickly, before we wrap up and let everybody go, thank you to all the new subscribers and everybody who's been watching the show on YouTube. And subscribing across the board. Me and Isaac are feeling the love as always. So once again, thank you, Freddie, for joining us. Thanks to all the subscribers. We will see you guys soon. Thank you so much.
Eddie, thank you so much.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it, man.
I know that you're a busy guy and fucking this is great even to have someone like you talk about all the stuff and show the rest of the world that, yeah, you're from the scene, that you did this yourself. I know you're yeah, people, you know, help you, but you're the one
a lot of people in you,
and you did it yourself. You mean?
Oh, thank you.
All right, I'll put this out myself. If I can find a publishing, whatever, but I want to do it myself. I got all the resources myself. You mean? So, hats off to you, my brother. You know?
Thank you. One last shout out, Pitchfork NYC for their.
Oh yeah, shout out to Overstyle.
They did an amazing job. The cover of the book. Thank you. Thanks, Pitchfork.
Those are definitely our guys, man. Well, yo, everybody, thank you so much. That's a wrap for us at Diablo's Den.
Had to wear it today. Thank you.
All right, guys. The world is mine. 4-5, baby.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week. So pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.